Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. The Blackhawks fall to the San Jose Sharks 3-2 in their final road game of the season. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio, and I'm going to go right back to San Jose at SAP Center and bring in Steve Conrad. And Steve, this was a pretty entertaining game between two very young teams who are still in the early stages of the rebuild. San Jose, obviously, a little bit higher in the standings. But I thought, if nothing else, tough loss for Chicago. But it was a very entertaining hockey game.
Yeah, and I think the coaching staff, they're going to look back on this game and not be too disappointed. You know, a couple of mental errors, you know, turnover on the first goal by the San Jose Sharks, when up to that point, really, Chicago had been dominating. And then maybe some loose coverage, too, on the third goal, which ended up being the game-winning goal. And that would have been the goal by Will Smith, who at the time made it 3-1. But then the Blackhawks, yeah, another power play goal. So they were 2-for-3 on the power play. They had all sorts of looks. And, Charlie, I don't know. We don't really have a lot of monitors up here. I don't know how Frank Nazar did not score with the goalie pulled. And maybe you can kind of fill me in on it, because from here it looked like either it was an unbelievable stop by the goaltender or possibly hit the post.
Yeah, I think I didn't see who the defenseman was standing there. It might have hit the back of the defenseman's leg, or it did hit off the goaltender. It was hard to tell based on the replay, but yeah, he had a prime scoring opportunity in that final minute with the extra attacker. Unfortunately, not able to capitalize, but the Hawks had their chances.
Yeah, they did. And you know, at the end of the night, you look at the shot distribution, and, you know, Frankie Nazar ends up with, what, 6 shots? Connor Bedard had 7 shots, and Anton Frondell with 4. I know he hit a post, too, and he had 9 opportunities or 9 attempts at the net. So, yeah, the guys you wanted with the puck on their stick certainly had it. Maybe just lacked a little bit of finish tonight. Connor Bedard, I thought, was fantastic, but you look at the numbers, and he's got plenty of assists in his last 6 games, but no goals in his last 6 games. And I just noticed, you know, I looked down after the final buzzer, he was the first guy off the ice racing to the bench. I don't think he was happy with the result. I mean, I was happy with his performance, and I mentioned it at the end of the first or second period to John. He just seemed like a water bug on the ice every time he had the puck, escaping checks. You just wonder how he's going to get out of, you know, a tough situation with guys closing in on him, and he always seems to find the open lane and escape, you know, a sure turnover. So he did that all night long. He ended up with an assist too on one of those power play goals. Unfortunately, he couldn't score one himself on one of those 7 shots that he had. But yeah, all in all, I think, you know, the Blackhawks look back and on this road trip, they could have won 2 out of 3. They ended up only winning 1 out of 3, but they didn't pack it in. They gave it their all, and I think San Jose will tell you that was a very tough victory for them.
Let's talk about the power play for the Blackhawks in this game. They had 3 opportunities, and the final totals, Steve, in those 5 minutes and 48 seconds of power play time, 18 shot attempts, 9 shots on goal, 14 scoring chances, only 2 of those high danger chances, but my goodness, this was probably the best that the 5-forward unit has looked all season long, or I guess since they went to it a couple games ago. They did score 1 in the power play. I don't know. I don't think they credited the first one as a power play goal.
Right.
It happened literally 1 second later, but it was basically essentially a power play goal. And then that second period opportunity that the Blackhawks did, they did all but score on the power play. So I thought, just your thoughts on the man advantage tonight.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the 5 forwards is looking fantastic. I thought it looked good against Seattle, too, and I think it might have started against the Edmonton Oilers, if I'm not mistaken, possibly the game at home prior to that. But what I like about it, Charlie, is, you know, they're getting looks, they're getting shots, but it's the movement. And, you know, guys aren't stationary, and with Connor Bedard as the quarterback, he's the ultimate quarterback because he's always in motion. He's always moving. Guys are rotating. And the other thing is, with a good power play, and you know, I've spent a little bit of time in the power play when I played, the key is the puck retrieval. You know, you're going to have somebody open, and you try to get that big shot, but then the important thing is to get the puck back. And that's what the Blackhawks have done really well, you know, since they've gone to the 5 forwards, is puck retrievals. Get the shot, get the puck back, and do it all over again. And, you know, they did that. And I really like the Teuvo Teravainen. He's such a, I think, underrated player. And I know he doesn't score a lot, but, boy, he makes these subtle little plays. That little pass he made to Frank Nazar after some great movement, and he knew Frank was going to be wide open. He was, and Frank Nazar just, you know, one-timed it, just a laser by Nedeljkovic. He's been a key part of that power play in that bumper position. And, I think that the Blackhawks are going to be really happy with that. They know that they've got a guy back there in Connor Bedard who not only can be a quarterback, but if there is a breakdown, and every once in a while there will be, he's pretty responsible defensively. I haven't seen him in a one-on-one or a two-on-one situation, but he knows how to defend. And if there is a breakdown, I think they have faith in him to be the guy back to break it up.
How about Anton Frundell, the chances that he got on that second power play specifically? I think he got credited with, I think it was 5 shot attempts, Steve, where the one where the Hawks had 11, and he finished the game with 9 shot attempts, 4 of them on net, and a majority of them came on that in that second period power play. Just feels like with Connor at the top now, quarterback in the power play, and Frundell in that right faceoff circle, the Hawks have some threats, and it was Frank Nazar that scored the power play goal in the third period too, because it just opened things up. So your thoughts on the threat of Frundell's shot on the right side and how that kind of helps open things up for the Blackhawks power play?
Well, he looked like the Swedish version of Alex Ovechkin tonight, because his arms were getting tired. And you know, when you think about it, Connor Bedard being a right shot, and he's at the top of the blue line, it's a little easier pass for him to pass it to a guy on the right side who's a left shot for the one-timer, because you can keep it away from the guy's sticks. And if a guy comes out, you know, to try and poke it away from you, because you're a right shot, you're to the outside to begin with. Now, if he has to go to the other side where Frank Nazar is, it's a little tougher because, you know, the pass is going to be, and his stick is going to be to the inside, so it's a little easier to pick off. So that all being said, with a little bit of confidence and a little bit, maybe a few more reps, Anton Frundell is going to be absolutely lethal from there. And when you think about it, Kantsarov, he'll be with the team next year, I believe. I don't know if he's a left shot or a right shot, but now you've got another option, a left shot. So now, you know, maybe you can put Frundell into the bumper position or down low on the goal line. You're going to have some lethal weapons there in the power play. So, I've liked Frundell. He's not afraid to shoot. And tonight, you know, you worry about an 18-year-old looking like a boy out there or looking like a youngster. I mean, he was dishing out hits. He was taking hits. I think he likes the physical play, and I love guys who play like that. It just seems like, you know, the tougher it gets, the more physical it gets, the better they play, and that seems to be the case with young Anton Frundell.
It's funny, Steve, you mentioned like how all these pieces are going to fit with when Kantsarov gets into the fold, and because one of my first thoughts when they brought over Frundell is, well, Connor Bedard really thrives in that right faceoff circle, but so does Frundell, so how are they going to make it work? And, you know, then they put Connor Bedard as the power play quarterback, and it's like, oh, that's not something that I actually thought of. And then you got Kantsarov coming next year that could maybe play the left side, and that's a great problem to have, Steve. When you have too many weapons, like I that's going to be fun for the coaching staff going into next season, figuring out kind of how all the power play puzzle pieces are going to work.
Well, you know, when I'm, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but I was kind of thinking about it too. So now you put, maybe you can put Kantsarov on that first line with Connor Bedard, and you know, Frundell then runs his second line, and then you've got Frank Nazar on the third line. And I think you brought this up a couple of games ago. You've got, you know, 3 centermen all under the age of, well, I guess for Frank Nazar he's 22, but you know, you've got Frundell at 18, and you've got Connor Bedard at what, 20 years of age?
Yeah.
And then on your fourth line you got Sasha Boisvert, and he's not, you know, literally 21, 22 years of age, and maybe he's 20 years old.
Yeah, I think he's 20.
So there you go. I mean, if you can have that type of youth down the middle and trust those guys and believe in them, I mean, that's just unbelievable. They're only going to get better and better. But, I mean, the future's bright. You'd love to see a few more wins this year. You'd love to be maybe, you know, pecking, like San Jose, pecking at a playoff spot, but you know, that's just the way it is right now. And I think, and I'm glad, you know, Jeff Blashill kind of referenced it this morning. Those 2 injuries to Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar really kind of derailed the team, because at the time, if they weren't in a playoff spot, they were within one or two, maybe 3 points, and they never really recovered after those injuries. So, that's what San Jose has done. They've not only avoided injuries, but they've won a lot of close games, whether it was in overtime or in a shootout, and that's basically the difference between these two hockey teams right now.
All right, last one for you, Steve. We got the Connor Bedard versus Macklin Celebrini matchup. They both got on the score sheet with an assist for Bedard, assist for Celebrini, and that line, they went up against each other all night, and I thought maybe the Celebrini line would go up against maybe Frondell or another line to kind of free them up, but they went toe-to-toe. Just your thoughts on the matchup between the back-to-back number one overall picks from a couple years ago.
Well, they were both really good. I think I noticed Connor Bedard a little more, only because he had, what, 6 or 7 shots. Celebrini had some really good looks. And what I really appreciated about his game is his 200-foot game. There were times where he was literally in behind his own net, and then literally 3-4 seconds later, he was leading a rush. He would end up getting a stretch pass, and he was leading a rush down the other way. So both of these guys are good. They're both competitors. They both hate to lose, and that's what you love to see. And at some point in the not-too-distant future, it'll be the San Jose Sharks against the Chicago Blackhawks in a Western Conference final, and that'll be special hockey. I can't wait for that.
Hopefully the result is the same as the last time, where it was a sweep in the Western Conference final. That would be fun.
There you go.
All right, Steve, you guys are heading back to Chicago tomorrow, correct?
Yes, we're staying overnight. We're getting a nice meal at the hotel, and I don't think we fly out until at least 10:30, so that would be 12:30. We're not going to get in until about 4:30, 5 o'clock, so it's kind of a wasted day tomorrow.
All right. Well, enjoy the enjoy the off day tomorrow, but enjoy the travel day tomorrow, and we'll do it again on Thursday.
Sounds good, Charlie. Looking forward to it. Great job tonight.
All right. Thank you, Steve. That was Steve Conrad over in San Jose. The Blackhawks fall to the Sharks 3-2. That was their final road trip of the season. Hawks are going to be on a 4-game homestand starting on Thursday against the Carolina Hurricanes to close things out. We do have some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room. Frank Nazar and Anton Frondell spoke to the media just a little bit ago, so we'll hear what they had to say when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Frondell regains the puck just outside the right wing circle. Here's Frondell. Put it to the high slot. Tervainen over to Nazar. One-timer. He scores! Power play goal for the Hawks. They trail the Sharks 3-2 with 13:51 left in period number two. The Hawks 2-for-3 on the Citgo power play here tonight.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. That was the 15th goal of the season for Frank Nazar. It was on the power play in the third period that trimmed the Blackhawks deficit from 3-1 to 3-2. And the Blackhawks ended up scoring the first goal early on in the game, but they unfortunately weren't able to hold it. I mentioned 15th goal of the season for Frank Nazar. He now has 17 points in his last 18 games with 8 goals and 9 assists during that stretch. So he has just been fantastic. A point per game player for the Blackhawks. Unfortunately, the Hawks weren't able to get the next one. But let's hear what Frank Nazar had to say after this 3-2 loss to San Jose.
Seemed like a solid effort and just a little bit short at the end.
Yeah. Goalie makes a big save in a big moment right there, you know. Took a lot of shots to score on the powers, and that's how it goes.
It's about as dangerous as the power plays looked all year. You guys just felt it.
Thank you. Yeah, it feels good. I felt that we were moving the puck well. Anton had like 7 shots in a row. It was pretty nuts. But I thought we looked really good. Bedsy up top is really, really good. He sees the ice so well. So
having you in front mill and kind of opposite flanks there, just firing off one timers, is that just kind of the model now?
If that's what's open, right? That's what we'll take.
Is this a fun team to play against with all the young guys they have and the speed they have and kind of the similarities to you guys?
Yeah, I think anytime we get to play these guys is a look at what it is in the future, right? It's a team that we're probably going to be battling against for the next 10 years. You know, they've got some young guys same age as us coming up and doing well. And, it's always a fun, grindy game against them.
Seems like you're able to turn the slightest mistake into a 2 almost every time. Dangerous to play against.
Yeah, they're a fast team. That's their style, and that's what's, you know, put them in a spot here to, you know, maybe get a playoff team.
So what would you say went wrong when you guys were up 1-0 and then they got three consecutive goals? What would you say was the turning point?
I think just staying above our guy and checking it. That's about it. You know, like I was saying, they're such a fast team who likes to get up the ice, and they just move the puck up and chip it out, and they'll try to beat us back. And just staying above our guys is the biggest key there.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Frank Nazar. Had a goal, an assist. He was a plus one in this game. Only two other players were a plus rating in this one, with Ryan Green and Ryan Donato, who are obviously his line mates. But Frank Nazar also had six shots on goal, seven shot attempts, and just looking at some of his shot on goal totals over the last couple games, if you look over his last five games now, he had six tonight. He had just one against the Seattle Kraken, but prior to that, he had three against Edmonton, four against Winnipeg, seven against the New Jersey Devils in New Jersey. So he's starting to get his confidence back, or I shouldn't even say he's starting to get, like, his confidence is back. And I don't know if you saw the video of the Blackhawks arrival. I think it was from earlier this morning, actually, at morning skate. Frank Nazar, he had a little extra pep in his step today because the Michigan Wolverines were playing in the national title game in the NCAA basketball tournament, and they ended up beating UConn tonight. I imagine that got to him at some point after this game. So Frank Nazar had a really nice night for the Blackhawks, and it just feels like he certainly has his confidence back after he was dealing with some injuries earlier in the year. All right, Anton Frondell, man. He had nine shot attempts in this game, four of them on net, three were blocked, two missed shots, also picked up an assist. Let's hear what the number three overall pick had to say after this game.
Speed of the NHL game, is that as fast a game as you've been in so far?
I don't know. It feels like every game is pretty the same. High level, I mean, every player's skating fast. The puck is going stick to stick. I don't know if it's what's the fastest, but it's pretty fast out there.
You've been kind of waiting to see your one-timer in action. You had that one power play. I think you had five or six attempts at it. What's working on that power play right now?
Did we score two goals in the power play today?
One of them was one second.
Yeah, okay, but it's hard to say. I mean, even though I shoot it five times, it's no goal. It was pretty close there one time in the post, but I want to hit the net. We're shooting, playing the puck, moving the puck fast, so good chances.
How good is Bedard up there as a distributor at the top like that?
Amazing. I mean, he's moving the puck so well, and when he's moving over to me, it's right where I want it for the shot, so easy for me to shoot it right away. And he also has that huge shot himself. I mean, so when he snaps it from the blue line, it's some good chances there too.
What did you see as the cause of the momentum shift where they went down, you were up 1-0, they got three consecutive goals and took all the momentum?
They scored two in the second, right? I don't really know. It feels like it's a weak start for most in the game. They come out hard. They have some good pressure on us. We had a 1-0 lead after the first. I think we should be happy with that, even if maybe a little lucky too. I don't know. I mean, in the end, we try to give it a push there and try to go back, but didn't really make it. So just tough right now.
All right, that was Blackhawks rookie forward Anton Frondell. He also logged 18 minutes and 44 seconds of ice time in this game. So they really leaned heavily on him, and four minutes and 37 seconds of that 18 minutes where it came on the power play. So yeah, he was certainly lethal. And I think the Blackhawks do have an added dimension with him on that power play, with the threat of the slap shot and with Connor Bedard moving at the top of the power play quarterback. They really have some different options now moving forward. So I thought the power play was really moving it, zipping it well, as well as they have all season long, but specifically with that five forward power play unit ever since they went to that a few games ago. I thought that was easily their best game so far since they've gone to that. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including postgame thoughts from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Hawks haven't gotten a shot yet. Now Adar put it over. Nazar drive. They score! Nazar put it on goal. Nedeljkovic made the initial save, but Ryan Donato was right there to clean up the rebound. It's a power play goal, and the Hawks take a 1-0 lead.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks wrap up their final road trip of the season with a 3-2 loss to the San Jose Sharks. Ryan Donato got the scoring started for the Blackhawks in this game. That was his 15th goal of the season, but he also snapped a 15-game goal drought. His last goal prior to tonight was exactly a month ago, which came on March 6th. That was against the Vancouver Canucks. It was a 6-3 loss at the United Center. It's actually, that was trade deadline day. So, man, that probably felt nice for Ryan Donato to find the back of the net. You can even see it on the celebration as well, when he celebrated the goal. And how about this too? Connor Bedard ended up picking a secondary assist on that goal by Ryan Donato to give him 200 career NHL points. He is now the, I believe it's the seventh fastest Blackhawk ever to hit the 200-point mark. The list starts like this. Number one is Dennis Savard at 160 games. Number two, Bill Mosienko, 175 games. Number three, Max Bentley, 190 games. Number four, Jeremy Roenick, 194 games. Five, Steve Larmer at 196. Six, Doug Bentley, 210 games, and the number seven, Connor Bedard, 215 games. Patrick Kane is also at 215. So how about that? Connor Bedard and Patrick Kane hit the 200 career NHL point mark in the same amount of time. Unbelievable when you kind of think of it like that. All right, let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say after his team's performance following this 3-2 loss to the San Jose Sharks.
Seemed like a solid game overall, and just a little bit short in the push at the end.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly pushed. They're a really good transition team. I thought, you know, we probably gave up too many grade A's in the second for sure. You know, I didn't think. I think we have better in us, to be honest with you. I thought we had good moments, but I think overall we still have better in us. Just a bit more like, kind of, not enough guys probably had their A game. So, but I, you know, we got to regroup and play better on Thursday.
Seems like this
PP1's like all year.
Yeah.
You were really riding that top unit too.
Yeah. We just, you know, the thing about that is when they, you know, if you're breaking the puck out a bunch, you can't do it, but they just stayed in the zone. So I just said, you know, whatever. They didn't look that tired. And they're catching definitely some confidence and swagger. You know, Bedzie up top is real dangerous. He's a great distributor. Obviously, Frondell on that side now is a real weapon too with his one-timer. So just, you know, the combo of all five guys, they're starting to get some chemistry. I think they've looked good every time they've been together, to be honest with you. And tonight was probably the best we looked.
Do you think that the five forward is something you know, look at keeping with next season, considering how well it's worked?
Yeah, I'd have to be crazy not to, you know. I have no issue with five forwards. It doesn't matter if it's a forward or D-back there. None of that doesn't dictate whether or not you give up, like, shorthanded chances to me. It's about the responsibility of the group. So I think, you know, what it does is get the puck a lot in Bedzie's hands, and he's the guy you want with the puck in his hands.
Sark's a good test defensively, the way that you make the slightest mistake and it's a 2-on-1 the other way.
Yeah, they got a lot of offensive talent for sure. They're quick. They got a lot of skill. I think they did a really good job on their rushes, hitting, you know, kind of late guys too. You know, a lot of skill, honestly, throughout the different lines. A lot of young players, but a lot of skill. And they kind of, you know, whatever. They've got some. So they can definitely make it pay. So I thought, you know, a couple times we either made a mistake on turnovers or made a mistake with our F3, and it's just something we got to be better at.
So, Coach, this team was playing desperation today because had a devastating loss last game. This is a must-win. So you saw when they got the three consecutive goals, you see that's where everything changed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly the momentum got away from us a little bit there. And I thought we didn't help ourselves with the momentum. Like, that's where you just got to play efficient hockey. We're still a young team, probably like them, learning how to play, you know, in games and just be efficient and not, you know, force things when they're not there. You know, the breakaway goal against, we had three drop passes within 5 feet of the blue line. That's not a real successful way to play. You know, like I said, they're a good team. I understand that they're, you know, playing desperate to try to gain a playoff spot. For us, we're playing desperate to get better every day.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill talking about his team's performance following this 3-2 loss to the San Jose Sharks. I want to get to I thought the Hawks were coming off one of their best defensive performances post-Olympic break against the Seattle Kraken, and I thought the Hawks did an okay job defensively. They only allowed 23 shots on goal after giving up 27 on the Seattle Kraken. And coming into tonight's game, or actually coming into the last game against Seattle Kraken, the Blackhawks had allowed at least 30 in 8 of the last 9 games. And so the Blackhawks did a nice job of limiting the shots again. I thought Spencer Knight was really good in this game for the Blackhawks. Unfortunately, he hasn't had much to show for it. 0-4-2 in his last 6 starts now. His last win came on March 19th, which was a 2-1 victory over the Minnesota Wild. So, Spencer Knight, unfortunately, didn't get a victory for the Blackhawks. All right, let's take our final break here, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. By the way, I mentioned that Ryan Donato snapped a 15-game goal drought, but how about this? Him finding the back of the net now gives him 12 points in 7 games against the San Jose Sharks since Donato joined the Blackhawks. So I don't know what it is about him facing San Jose, but he's averaging almost 2 points per game in the 7 games when facing the San Jose Sharks. Time now to get to tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers & Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Wyatt Kaiser leading the way for the Blackhawks, 21 minutes and 54 seconds of ice time. He was, it looks like Frank Nazar was second on the Blackhawks at 21:35. Connor Bedard was third at 21:13. And then you had Louis Crevier at 20 minutes and 25 seconds of ice time and Tyler Bertuzzi at 20:16. So 5 players from the Blackhawks finished with 20 minutes or more ice time in this game. An area of struggle for the Blackhawks in this game was the faceoff department. They won just 15 draws. They had 15 wins, 37 losses for a success rate of 29%. Looking at some of the numbers, the only player that finished north of 50% on the Blackhawks was actually Ryan Donato, who won 5 of his 7 draws for a 71% success rate. There were 2 Blackhawks that actually did not have a single faceoff win in this game. Sacha Boisvert went 0 for 8 in this game, and then Ryan Green also went 0 for 6. A rare off night for Ryan Green because he's usually pretty dependable in that department. Frank Nazar also only won 2 of his 9 draws. So this is an area that the Blackhawks are certainly going to have to get better. You look at some of the top players for the San Jose Sharks. Macklin Celebrini won 13 of 16 faceoffs for an 81% success rate. Then you had Alexander Wenberg had 11 wins and 5 losses for the San Jose Sharks. So that's got to be an area for improvement for the Blackhawks. They've kind of struggled at that over the last couple years. And so hopefully the Blackhawks are able to improve in that area, and maybe they will with Frondell getting a full year next year, and who knows how the center will shake up. So we'll have to see. We're going to pause really quick for a required EAS test, so stay with us. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, I want to get to some other items. We talked about the Macklin Celebrini Hart Trophy type season that he's having with the San Jose Sharks, and it's honestly kind of crazy the season that he's having. You heard in the pregame show of some of the numbers that he has been putting up. He now has 107 points, fourth in the NHL. He's the sixth teenager in NHL history to hit the 100-point mark. He has 44 career multi-point performances, which ranks fifth as a, I think it's Sidney Crosby, Wayne Gretzky, Dale Hawerchuk, and Jimmy Carson are the only players that are ahead of Macklin Celebrini. And then I saw, now that he has 107 points on the season, only Wayne Gretzky and Sidney Crosby have 100 or more points in a season, or more than 107 points than Macklin Celebrini. Crosby is at 120. Wayne Gretzky is at 137. So he does have, I think it's six games now, after I think it was seven, including tonight. So he's got six more games to kind of add to that total, but he's just been on a sensational tear for the San Jose Sharks. And the numbers too, when Celebrini records a point and when he doesn't, is pretty remarkable. 35-17-4 record now for San Jose when Celebrini records a point in a game. When he doesn't, San Jose has just two wins all season long. They're 2-15-3 over that stretch. So just a crazy season that he's having. But I also want to mention this. We mentioned now, so San Jose now moves to 81 points on the season. The Blackhawks have 70, and it's an 11-point difference, which is fairly significant. But going into this game, the San Jose Sharks had a 12-7 record in overtime. The Blackhawks have an overtime slash shootout record of 7-14. If you flip the records, so if the San Jose Sharks, they're 12-7 in overtime this year, but if you flip their record and it's 7-12 in overtime, and if you flip the Blackhawks 7-14 record in overtime and flip it to 14-7, the Blackhawks would have 77 points this season and San Jose would have 76. So the Hawks would have one more point than San Jose if they were able to flip-flop their overtime record. So that's also got to be a point of emphasis for the Blackhawks moving forward, and just next year is emphasizing the three-on-three overtime and shootouts. And I also think it just puts the overall standings into perspective. Like, you know, we see the San Jose Sharks as kind of like a breakout team in the Western Conference, but 81 points, I don't think anyone was really expecting 81 points to kind of be in position to be in a playoff spot. Like, you look at the Eastern Conference and the Columbus Blue Jackets, Detroit Red Wings, and New York Islanders are all sitting outside of a playoff berth, and they have 89 points, 88, and 88. I mean, if they were in the Western Conference, they would be leading the Pacific Division right now. So there, some of the San Jose Sharks being in a playoff spot or being kind of right there in the playoff race has a lot to do with the West not being as strong as it has been in years past. But if the Blackhawks, you know, if the Hawks flip their overtime record and they have 77 points, the Blackhawks would be 4 points out of a playoff spot, and they would very much be part of the conversation. And maybe not like realistically part of the conversation, because they would have like four teams to jump in the second wild card spot, but they would be playing the meaningful games that I think they wanted to be playing going into this season. And, you know, we even talked about in the pregame show, going into the Macklin Celebrini versus Connor Bedard matchup. Like, Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini were tied for third in the entire NHL scoring race when Connor Bedard got hurt on December 12th. They both had 44 points. Connor McDavid had 48, which was second in the NHL, and Nathan MacKinnon had 53, which led the NHL. So I wish the shoulder injury didn't disrupt Connor Bedard's season, because I would have loved to see what kind of 82-game trajectory that he would have been on if he didn't get hurt. But that's life in the NHL, and I'm sure Macklin Celebrini is also going to deal with some adversity, you know, in his NHL career. And Connor Bedard, unfortunately, has just been facing his over the last couple of years. His rookie year broke his jaw, then this year with the shoulder injury. But man, if we get all 82 games of Connor Bedard next year, I feel like the Blackhawks will be knocking on the door of a playoff spot, and I believe that Connor Bedard will probably be on like a 100-point pace going into or just kind of throughout next season. So we'll see how that shakes out. All right, time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. We have the second round of the OHL playoffs that are set, and the four four Blackhawks prospects have moved on with their respective teams from the first round. I think all four of them actually moved on. Merrick Van Acker and Parker Holmes are representing Brantford. They will face North Bay in the second round of the OHL playoffs. Game one is on Wednesday night. The Brantford Bulldogs ended up sweeping their first round series. Then you have AJ Spellacy and Winsdor will take on Flint in the second round. They host game one on Friday night. And then you have Jack Pridham and the Kitchener Rangers will face Sault Ste. Marie. Game one is also Friday night, and they're also hosting. So all three of those teams are hosting the second round of the playoffs. So in the OHL in the second round. So best of luck to all four of them as we continue to monitor their progression and their development as they play very meaningful games in the OHL. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Hawks are going to be back home finally in Chicago. They're flying back to Chicago tomorrow. They're going to have a practice day on Wednesday at the United Center because it'll be their team photo day. And then on Thursday, they will host the Carolina Hurricanes, 7:30 start, back to a 7 o'clock pregame show. And it's going to be kicking off a four-game homestand for the Blackhawks to end the season. The Carolina Hurricanes are coming off a 6-3 loss to the Ottawa Senators on Saturday. They host the Boston Bruins tomorrow, and the Hurricanes have not lost back-to-back games since January 12th and 13th. That's almost two months ago for the Carolina Hurricanes. Again, they're one of the best teams in the entire NHL. They are, I'm checking at this now. Yep, they still lead the entire Eastern Conference at 104 points, and they have been on a really nice run as of late. 21 wins, 7 regulation losses, and 2 overtime/shootout losses in their last 30 games. So we'll see what they do tomorrow against the Boston Bruins, and then the Carolina Hurricanes will be in town at the United Center on Thursday night against Chicago. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Eli Burke. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call from San Jose, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 3-2 loss to the Sharks. Thank you for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Thursday from the UC.